But apparently time solves everything, right? You know, time heals all wounds. That's not in the Bible, by the way. Apparently time also turns goo into you. So that's not in the Bible either. So, you know, the world gets it wrong twice. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14. We've been here for quite some time. This is week 9. If you've not been with us, we've been talking about who the Holy Spirit is to you, to me, why he was sent, how he leads us, and how he helps us for 8 weeks now. This is week number 9. But before we get started, sorry, Victoria, I totally spaced it. Check out this slide. This slide's pretty cool, right? First of all, here's what first happens when I see something like this. I try to read what's bold. Mord, quid, emact, right? Just what I just go to automatically. But anyway, it's a great looking slide for empowered, equipped to impact. This is, you know, in a nutshell, our vision at Spirit of Life Church. Yes, we are a spirit-filled, prophetic community of believers, absolutely. But this is what we are hoping, desiring to do and to have you do. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been speaking upon the things of the Holy Spirit now for 8 weeks. This is week number 9. That is how you're empowered. You are equipped with his word to go forth and to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to preach truth. What does it say? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. What are the weapons of our warfare? It's the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword? It's the word of God. That is our equipping to go out and to impact. All these things I've been sharing with you out of Acts, we're done. Look, how many were done outside of the church? Almost all of them. Almost all of them were manifestations outside the church to show the glory of Jesus, to profit the one being ministered to. That's what we are called to do, to go forth, empowered by the Holy Spirit, equipped with truth to impact the world. And that's our vision here. But I just thought that slide was kind of cool once I got off of the dynamics of it. But that is our vision in our heart here at Spirit of Life Church. In John chapter 14, we've been speaking about this for quite some time. And I will pray, Jesus said, the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. This is a little bit of review. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Now that's important that he said that. Because they'd been around the ministry of Jesus now for 3-something years or whatever it may be, right? They had seen the manifestations of the Spirit through the ministry of Jesus, and even at times in their own lives. But then Jesus goes on to say, and shall be in you. This is why it's better. This is why Jesus said it's better for you. In fact, he says it down here in maybe it's chapter 16, but it says, it is expedient that I leave. It means it's better that I go. Why? So the Holy Spirit will come and he will dwell in you. And he's dwelling in me. This is why it's better. John chapter 16, verse 7. Let's take a look at this here. In verse 7, oh, here's the scripture right here. Just follow your notes. That's all right. Nevertheless, I tell you, Jesus speaking again, the truth. Again, that is a profound statement. When did Jesus ever lie to them? But he's coming to them, he's saying, look, what I'm about ready to tell you is so important. I want you to understand I'm not lying to you, not that I ever would. Okay, so pay attention. I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I am leaving, that I go away. If I do not go, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And he has, and he has. And he's here, and he's with you, and he's with me. He dwells inside each and every one of us, each and every one of our hearts who I believe receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now our spirit is in direct communion with the Holy Spirit. The key now, the difficulty now, is to yield the rest of ourselves to him. That is the walk of our salvation that we walk out. Verse 8, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, when he, the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove. That word means convict, convince. The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world. To convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When we or you or I heard the gospel, we were convicted. And we had a choice then to believe and respond to Jesus Christ. Through the leading, the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. This is his ministry unto the world. The issue in any sinner's life is not what sin they're committing. That's not the issue. The issue is, do they know Jesus? Have they received Jesus? Do they accept Jesus as the Son of God, his death, his resurrection? And then if that's the case, have they been filled from that point forward with the Holy Spirit of God? There's a little book that I read, or I've read, I like it. It says, have you received since you believed? Anybody know that? I forget who it's by. You know who it's by off the top of your head, Pastor? I can't remember. It's just a little mini book. Have you believed or have you received since you believed? This week, we're going to go into prophecy and some of those things. And next week, we're going to talk about tongues and interpretation out of 1 Corinthians 12. And then we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. My desire is that if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking, it says they were filled with the Spirit. And we read it today. They spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. If that's not happened to you, if you've not received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and filling, that's my desire. Don't just put it away. Don't just shelf it. Stay with us. It's for you. I believe it's for all believers. We'll see those scriptures as well today. And that's where we're headed and that's where we're going. We've been delving into things of the Spirit now for 9 weeks. Continue with me here in John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. This is his ministry to us as believers. See the difference between his ministry to the world and his ministry to us? To us, he's guiding us into all truth. To us, he's showing us what he's heard. We will speak that. He's showing us things to come. Verse 14, Holy Spirit shall glorify me, glorify Jesus, for the Holy Spirit shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. This is the second or third time he said, show it to you, manifest it to you. Verse 15, all things the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he, the Holy Spirit, shall take what is mine and show it to you. He keeps saying, show it to you. It's not to be a once in every 10-year experience, the Holy Spirit showing you something of the Lord Jesus. It's to be the way that we live by. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And do you believe that today? I believe that. I don't want a once in a 10-year relationship. You know what that is? That's a family reunion I never go to. I don't want that with the Holy Spirit. I want to know him intimately, right? I have my core group I know better than anybody. That would be my wife and my 3 children, my dog and my cat. No, they're not spiritual. Sorry, Sharon. Every time I say that, I always think of Sharon because I love animals. But I don't believe I will see my dog and cat in heaven. I'm sorry. I hope it to be so. But I believe there will be animals in heaven, and as Tyler and I talked, as long as Tyler and I talked, I believe they speak in heaven. Did they not speak in the garden? Wouldn't that be cool? Or in your favorite sci-fi movie, they just start talking to you? We don't even have to go to sci-fi. What about the Bible? The donkey's mouth was open, and he spoke to Balaam, and Balaam wasn't even surprised by it. He was just mad at him for rubbing his leg against the wall. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We get so easily sidetracked here. I blame you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning things of the Spirit, gifts is in italics. It wasn't there because we're not talking just about gifts here. It's all things of the Spirit. And he's speaking to the Corinthians about the things of the Spirit because they were very spiritual, howbeit not always wholly spiritual. Okay, there's a difference. There are many things out in this world that are spiritual in nature, but they're not godly. Right? The devil can do some things. He can manifest some things. He threw a stick down and created a snake. He turned an Nile back into blood. He created more frogs or brought more frogs. He didn't create them. He can't create, right? He can just make things worse. But concerning things of the Spirit, brethren, so he's talking to believers. He's talking to you right here today, this morning. I don't want you to be ignorant. Wow. So why is he saying that? They must have been ignorant. Is there ignorance about this today? Absolutely. How many people out there who are Christians believe that this is ended? It's not for today. The time of these things is past. Well, they're ignorant of them. You know, the only person who's ever argued with me about speaking in tongues are those who don't speak in tongues. That's the truth, right? And so we got to understand that this still exists today. Not every church is teaching or preaching or talking about this today. And I'm not saying that I know all, not even close. I don't even have a drop in a bucket. I have a fraction of that drop that's still falling from the sky. I hadn't even hit the bucket yet. But yet we're talking about them. We're gaining knowledge. We're increasing revelation by allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to us as we go over these things. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation, the expression, the open display and showing of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Every one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to. Every one of you, if you're a believer, these manifestations we've been speaking about, we've already talked about special faith, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discernings of spirits are for all of us. One is given these, I just read that, let's go to verse 11. But all these work that one and self-same Spirit, there is one Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. as he will. We are supposed to live with an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Every New Testament church is to have these things happening throughout their body, throughout the body, and in their lives all the time. The key is earnestly desiring. He wraps up chapter 12 here and says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, show I unto you a more excellent way. The key is, do we earnestly desire them? Or are we content to just go it alone without the help of the helper? Think about your week, 168 hours you just had this week. The 4th of July week, where people shoot off fireworks on July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. If you're in town, it's just not stop, right? Anybody hear fireworks last night? Yeah, we did. You know why? Because it's buy 25 for one until they get rid of their stock, and that'll just keep going on, right? And that's okay. I don't mind it, but my dog hates it. And if you have a dog or a cat and they hate it too, then that makes you start to hate it. Even if you love fireworks, like, oh, man, don't they know? Just save them for next year. Save your money. Nope. Got to get rid of them. That's okay. But if any point in this week, 168 hours, you were frustrated or blew up at a spouse or a child or an animal or another driver or whatever it may be, wouldn't it have been nice not to get yourself all riled up in that way? You know how we don't get ourselves riled up and frustrated and missing the mark in sin or any other way by the leading, guiding, and direction of the Holy Spirit? My challenge for myself is this every week, and I'm not going to tell you how long it takes until I fail. My challenge is every week to start with 1 hour to be completely led by the Holy Spirit in that 1 hour. If I can do it one, I can just multiply times 168 and do it all week, right? That's the goal. That's the key. The key is to every moment of my life, of your life, to be led by, directed by the one who knows everything. You know how to deal with that neighbor who doesn't ever mow their yard? Well, the Holy Spirit knows how, and it'll be the right way. It'll probably be the way that loves your neighbor and not what you might be thinking about doing to your neighbor, right? Oh, they have dandelions in the yard again. Why won't they mow? I think the dandelion day is past, though. Right now we're in the clover section, right? Yeah, it's awesome. Gotta love Indiana grass when it's dead or when it's alive. We have something else green coming up in the way, right? But this is the key. The key is we have help for every situation in our lives. We have help to raise our children. We have help in how to fix our cars. We have help in how to wash dishes. But are we content to go it alone, or are we going to yield to the Holy Spirit and what he is teaching us and what he is showing us? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's continue here. We're going to talk about prophecy today. 14:1 says, follow after love and desire things of the Spirit. Again, gifts is in italics there. Desire spiritual things. Now, what did we skip over? From chapter 12, verse 31 says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. And then he goes all through chapter 13, showing you the more excellent way. That way is love. It's like a love interlude right here in the middle of teaching you about things of the Spirit. Why? Because if you are doing the things of the Spirit but have not love, you are just a resounding brass, and it will not be received. Paul is instructing from the beginning of this letter until the end. He's instructing this church at Corinth. This spiritual tongue-talking, prophesying, manifestations of the Holy Spirit church. But they've gone awry. They've gone awry a little bit. And he's bringing order. And he's bringing direction. And he's showing them how the things of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works, how he leads, and how he guides. So he says again, after he talks about that we do these things through love in chapter 13, he goes back to now. Let me explain about some of these things again in chapter 14. Again, the chapters and verse are put there for us. They weren't originally written there. It was one letter. Okay, it's for us to find our marks. And so it says, we are not to be passive about the things of the Spirit, but we are to keep them in front of us, to not forget them. That's what it means to desire these spiritual things. That's what it means to covet earnestly, is keep them in front of you. Do you want to see them in your life? Do you want to see them in this life, Spirit of Life Church, in this body? I don't care if it's through me. That's irrelevant. I just want to see the full nature and benefit of the help of the Holy Spirit for you, for me. Why? Because somebody is always profiting when he manifests and Jesus is glorified. That's my desire for you and for me. But here in chapter 14, he gives a particular emphasis on prophecy, right? He says, follow after love and desire things of the Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. There's a particular emphasis here on prophecy. Of the 9 manifestations, right? Prophecy, tongues, interpretation, tongues, special faith, miracles, healings, knowledge, wisdom, discerning of spirits. Of the nine, six of them, Paul gives no instruction about. The ones we've already talked about. Miracles, healings, faith, knowledge, wisdom, discerning experience. He gives no instruction about. But on the three that speak, right? The three that do, workings of miracles, the ones of power, healings and faith. The three that show, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning experience. He gives no instructions. But the three that are vocal, the things that involved our tongue, the ones that speak, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, a whole chapter of the New Testament is given in instruction upon these three. I find that pretty interesting. Why? Because on the other six, those aren't initiated by us. What do I mean by that? It means you can stay prayed up, you can stay ready, but you can't just pray real hard and give yourself a word of knowledge. You can't just fast and do a workings of miracles. It doesn't work that way. But he gives a whole chapter on the three that speak because we can initiate tongues. We can initiate prophecy. And the problem with that is we can also abuse them. And so Paul is bringing instruction in this area of prophecy and tongues and interpretation because they were being abused, they were being misused or misappropriated, and it was bringing about confusion. And we're going to see that as we read this chapter here today. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says this, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he that speaks in tongue speaks not to men, but unto God," directly to God when you're speaking in tongues. Do we need that today? Absolutely. "For no man understands him." Now, he's talking about if there's no interpretation. No man understands him if there's no interpretation. "Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks," the word here is mysteries, but if you look at a literal translation, it's divine secrets. Anybody here want to speak divine secrets with God? Absolutely. That just sounds awesome. I mean, I tell my kids not to tell secrets in front of other people because I find it rude, but if I'm alone at home praying in my spirit and the Lord wants to tell me a secret, spirit to spirit, I'm all for it, right? And it says, "Pray that you may interpret as well." Let's keep going, verse 3. "But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort." And I want to tell you right now, as I go through the scriptures today with the time that I have to share them with you today, we did a teaching last January that was fantastic on The Simple Prophecy by Chris Vollaton. We still have that teaching. If you're interested in that, see us. It was fantastic. What was it, 6 weeks we had on that? Was it more than that? It was more than that. Eight or 10 weeks on it. And it was fantastic. He does a much better job. He's speaking out of the office of a prophet. And this is what he studied his whole life. And he has a special revelation of it than I could ever do. But the difference, but the same thing is this. We have the same Holy Spirit. And so I'm just praying for that revelation to come forth to you today and what the Lord has given me. Edification. I believe that he's talking about the same manifestations we already read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says prophecy, and it says that the manifestation is given to each, every man, to profit with all. Right? So this prophecy that we're talking about is given to every man to profit with all. Every single one of them. Every believer who believes. It's available by the Holy Spirit to every believer because it's him doing it, not you. Edification is the building up or the strengthening. It's a divinely inspired utterance that builds up or strengthens you. That's prophecy. Exhortation is encouragement, an urging, a calling to. It is divinely inspired utterance that encourages you. Encourage you or calls you to or urges you towards something. Comfort is just that. It's a divinely inspired utterance that comforts or consoles you. Notice that this inspired utterance, it quickens and strengthens and comforts, but there's no foretelling in these things. Is there prophecy that foretells? Absolutely. Absolutely there is. But in these things, in this prophecy, in this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it edifies, it exhorts, or it comforts. It's not talking about foretelling. That's more in an essence of the office of a prophet. Foretelling is, to me, what I already explained, look it up for yourself, just don't take my word for it. It's like a word of wisdom that is telling you the plan of God, the future, the will of God for your life. Think of it this way. How many of you drink coffee? That's all? Well, there's a lot of Starbucks for just that few, but that's okay. You drink coffee, right? Now, some of you drink coffee black. Some of you drink coffee with cream in it. Some of you drink coffee with sugar in it. But what do we call all of it? Coffee. It's coffee. There's prophecy with words of knowledge in it. There's prophecy with words of wisdom in it. And it's prophecy that just exhorts and comforts and edifies. But we call it all prophecy. You see the difference there? That's the way I want you to think about it. It's prophecy with something a little different in it. We divide these nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We divide them up, but they all work together. What we usually just say is God moved. And then later in retrospect, there may be a revelation of how God moved. But the important thing was that God moved, Christ was glorified, and people were set free, healed, delivered, and it profited from it. Amen? So we're dividing these up for study, but keep that in mind. It's the same Spirit. He is the same. It is his nature of help towards you and towards me. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at some of these in scripture. Acts chapter 2. We're not done with 1 Corinthians 14 either. So if you want to hold your place there, we'll come back to it. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Are we living in these last days? Yes, we are living in the lastest days ever known. Right? Today is the last day that has ever existed so far in the history of the church. And if we wake up tomorrow, God willing, he doesn't return, then that'll be the last day. And this will be the past. It works that simple. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. So has he poured out his spirit? Yes, he has. When he ascended, he told them to go and wait that they should receive power. And what we call the day of Pentecost, he came, the Holy Spirit. He has been poured out. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. I'm going to try not to jump ahead too much in the tongues interpretation, but it's so hard because Paul ties them together when he's speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And they're both utterance. And they both can be manifestations of the Spirit, even though there are diverse kinds of tongues. 19, verse 6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. That's an unknown utterance, divinely inspired. And prophesied. That's a known language, divinely inspired utterance. They did both when he laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came. Are we to do both today? Absolutely. Acts chapter 21. Verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was of the seven, and abode with him. Verse 9. The same man, Philip, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. All four daughters prophesied. Is he talking about predicting the future? Not necessarily. Did he call them all prophetesses? No, the Bible doesn't say that. But they all did prophesy. Now, continue reading in verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. This is different language than saying, you know, I perceive in my spirit. No, this is the ministry of the prophet. This is a different level than the four girls mentioned in Acts chapter, or in the verse 8 and 9. This is different. I believe Paul is distinguishing here between simple prophecy that is for every believer, like the four girls of Philip had, and the office of a prophet like Agabus. What did he say? A certain prophet, Agabus. I think, why else even mention that Philip's daughters prophesied? What was the point of putting that in scripture? I believe it was for this purpose, to distinguish between the two ministries. They are same in essence, but they are different in levels of ministry. Right? When Agabus came, it's much different language. Not everybody ministers this way. Agabus saw this in his spirit. He saw himself probably doing this in his spirit. If you've ever received a prophetic word like this, you almost do it before you do it. I don't know how else to describe that. But he saw himself doing this in the spirit. He was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go find where Paul was and to do this very thing in his presence. And the beauty of Agabus' prophecy here, a certain prophet in this ministry, is he did and obeyed and said what the Holy Spirit had him to say and to do, and he left it. He didn't interpret it for Paul, and he didn't apply it for Paul. Why? Because Paul is also filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And his spirit must bear witness with the word given, and it must be judged by his spirit and the word of God. And then Paul makes his own decision from there, right or wrong. He makes his own decision from there. So see, I believe Paul is distinguishing the difference here, or I'm sorry, the writer of Acts, Luke, is distinguishing the difference here between these two ministries. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm not teaching on the office of a prophet. I don't claim to know anything about it. So there you go. I can only share with you what I know, right? Just like I don't teach you about putting on your makeup. Don't know how to do it. Don't want to know how to do it. Not planning on knowing how to do it. Amen. If I ever need makeup put on, I have 3 girls in the house, and I'm sure we can figure it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. All right, let's dive into this here. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies, builds up, strengthens himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. Paul says, I would that you all spoke with tongues. Why would he say this if tongues is not for everybody? There are those who say, I met one the other day, he says, I believe in tongues. I believe it's for today. It's just not for me. I would disagree with him wholeheartedly. It is for you. Absolutely. You don't want no secrets from God? I do. You should. And there's other instances of prayer as well. Now, I didn't tell this person all of that, but in my heart, I was just sad. Because I'm not going to argue with someone about speaking in tongues, and they don't speak in tongues. What's the point, right? But rather that you prophesied. Paul is saying, and you know, you got to remember also, he's talking about in the church. He's talking about in the church right here during this service. I would rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues. So everybody stops right there. Prophecy is better than tongues. Now what Paul's saying, except he interpret. If you interpret the tongue, it's the same as prophecy. It's divinely inspired utterance. Both now are being understood by the mind, and both are edifying the church. Do you understand? Do we understand the difference? If I were to speak up here 40 minutes and speak in tongues, I am wrong. Period. We're not told to do that. If I were to go to Pastor Adam and I would just speak in tongues over him for 10 minutes and say, now you pray to receive an interpretation for that, and I walk on, I am wrong. That is not how we minister. That is not the ministry of tongues. The ministry of, man, we're getting way ahead. We're getting to next week. The ministry of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, a manifestation of the Spirit, comes with interpretation. Do we see that? It is a ministry. Someone needs to prophet. You're not profitable if I just sit up here 40 minutes and speak in tongues and nobody ever interprets it. That's just wrong. We don't do that. Okay? But that's why he said it's better that you prophesy, because all of you understand and you're edified. Speak in tongues, that's great if it's interpreted in the church. And then all are edified, that all may receive edification. Let's go on, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Again, if I come to you speaking with tongues without an interpretation. We got to read in context here. He's talking about without an interpretation here. It doesn't profit you. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge. Now, we've already gone over some of these manifestation gifts. Or by prophesying or by teaching. Because all those are known to the mind and they edify and they build up. A word of knowledge, revelation, a word of wisdom, prophecy, or teaching. In verse 7, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an utterance, or an uncertain sound, who should himself prepare to battle? So he's giving a real life example to them. Because back then, the call to war was done with the trumpet. And it had a certain distinct call, and they knew to prepare arms. Well, if somebody's just blowing a trumpet, if I went over there and blew the shofar, and I have a very lax, lesser knowledge of how to blow it properly, you'd be like, what was that? Somebody's kicking the cow. Stop. But if somebody else who understands and anointing goes and blows the shofar, it has a different connotation altogether. So he's just giving a real life example. You need to understand the sound being made. Okay? Because again, he's talking about tongues, not interpretation. Verse 9. So likewise, you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Tongues without interpretation is you speaking into the air. We don't understand it. It's you speaking to the Lord directly. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks a barbarian, and he that speaks a barbarian unto me. Verse 12, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual things, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Why? So it's not just for your spirit, it's edification to the whole group. This is what Paul is talking about before the church, so that everyone is edified. In verse 6 and 9, where it says, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues, does it profit you? And he says, except you utter tongues, we're easy to understand. That's if the tongues don't have an interpretation. Keep that in your mind. Verse 13, why you're praying to interpret is for the edification and the benefit of all. Then it becomes as prophecy. There are different kinds of tongues in the Bible. And depending on who you go and look at and speak, when we were doing our Holy Spirit study in our Connect group, John Bevere identified, he believed, four different types of tongues in the Bible. I was listening to another minister, and he identifies three different types of tongues in the Bible. But what you can understand here, and I'll give you those three for the purpose of this study. One is a tongue that is a sign to an unbeliever. That's like the day of Pentecost. When they came out, they're all speaking in tongues. They all heard them in their own language, and they were all unbelievers. Another one is a tongue that is a ministry. That's what we've been studying, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. A tongue of interpretation that glorifies Lord Jesus and profits somebody. That is a ministry to that person. And then there's also your own personal time of prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, where you are built up and you are edified. That's at least three different kinds. Beyond that, all right? So we got to understand the distinction here, what Paul is talking about. What I believe is the reason that he's saying this, this isn't too long after the day of Pentecost. This was their most familiar experience with tongues was the day of Pentecost. This was known in this area of the world where they were at. And I believe that the church of Corinth was trying to recreate that tongue, that sign in their service. So people would get up and give a word in tongues with no interpretation, hoping that somebody was hearing it in their own language. We're not supposed to be doing that. That's not what that's for. And Paul, we're going to read that. He distinguished that here before. Paul's bringing instruction that the tongue without interpretation only builds yourself. A prophecy is there to build others. It's okay to speak in tongues between you and God, but don't interrupt the service hoping that someone understands it. Okay? Verse 14, let's look at this. He starts going into it a little more. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. But my mind is unfruitful. That's a good thing, by the way. Your mind gets in the way. You need to pray in the spirit where you don't understand. That's the best way I can say it. You need to pray in the spirit where you don't understand, where your mind is bypassed, where the distractions of the day and what you're thinking are not invading that space. It comes from a different place. It comes from your heart. It comes from the temple of the living God, which is inside of you, your spirit dwelling in the same space with the Holy Spirit, and you speaking in that tongue, bypassing your mind, speaking directly to God. That needs to happen. But Paul says, I will also pray with understanding. It's both. It's not either or, it's both. And then he says, I will sing in the spirit. And I will sing with understanding. Is it okay to sing or when you're speaking in tongues and it sounds like a song? Is that biblical? Absolutely it's biblical. Should you do it? Absolutely you should do it. Should we do it, lead you in a song service in tongues up here? Absolutely not. This is for understanding, for you to be edified, for you to be built up, for you to be strengthened. All tongues are not prayer. Some tongues are praise and worship. Some tongues are giving of thanks and declarations and affirmations. And your spirit is speaking by utterance of the Holy Spirit. Many times in Acts where they received the Holy Spirit of God, it said they spoke in tongues and gave thanks. Their tongues was a giving of thanks unto the Lord. It's not all just for intercession or just for prayer. It's for other things as well. That's why we have to, it's the only way that we know God's will without a doubt is praying by the Spirit. It's the only way. This sounds like next week. Let's keep going. Verse 17. Did I read 16? No, I didn't. Verse 16. I got so many notes on here, it's hard to read my Bible. It says, else when you shall bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you say? Okay, so here's a couple points in here. How, if I just randomly speak up here in tongues and I'm building myself up and no interpretation is given, how can you say amen to what I'm saying? So two things. We don't do that because you can't say amen. And the second thing is you're supposed to say what? Amen. In church. It's okay. It's biblical. He's saying it right here. How can you say amen to my giving thanks if you don't know what I'm saying? Why do we say amen? Now, I'm not saying that because I need you to respond to me and, you know, it builds me up and I get excited and jump and shout and sweat and wipe my brow. That's not why you say amen. Saying amen is for you. It engages your spirit. It engages your faith. It is an acknowledgement of your mouth to what you are receiving in your spirit by faith. That's why you say amen. So if I'm up here and I say, Jesus is Lord, and he heals all, and you say amen, your spirit has risen up by faith, grabbed a hold of that word of truth, and received it and planted it in your heart. Right? Jesus, he's Lord over our confession. You know, and I know there's people out there who get carried away, and they think that, you know, well, you just confess too much, this, that, the other. If somebody doesn't make you confess, are you confessing on your own? How powerful are your words that you speak? Didn't James say it was like the rudder that steers the entire big ship? Again, go back to, we're talking about these vocal gifts. We're talking about these gifts that say something. How are they are abused? Life and death is in the tongue. This is why Paul's giving so much instruction on what we speak when it comes to tongues and to prophecy. It's all together. This is one book. This is one message. That's it. It reveals Jesus. It glorifies Jesus. And too often, what gets in the way of glorifying Jesus is located right here, below our nose. And so when we got to understand this, when he's saying, you know, how else will they say amen? Why were they saying amen in the first place? Because they were engaging their spirits by faith to what was being said. They were encouraged and strengthened by what was being said. And they're grabbing a hold of it by their spirit, what was being said, and planting it in their heart. Why? So it bears fruit. And so it grows. Verse 17. For thou verily give thanks well. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're giving thanks well. But the other, you guys, are not edified unless there's an interpretation. Verse 18. But I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you, Paul says. All of you. So he's not putting prophecy above it. He's saying, I thank God I speak more than all of you. But yet, verse 19, in the church here, in Spirit of Life Church, in the church as a whole, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Why do we come to church? It is to get edified. It is to get strengthened, comforted, built up. Right? You know, I grew up in a church every Sunday where they gave an altar call for unbelievers to get saved. And that's the church that I grew up in. And if nobody came to get saved, well, why didn't anybody come to get saved? Because we had the same 60 people at church every single week. They were all saved. So why are we coming to church? And I'm not saying an altar call is wrong for salvation. I'm not saying that. Please hear my heart. But we come to church, the purpose is to be edified, to be built up, to be equipped and empowered to go out and impact the world. That is why that is our vision here at Spirit of Life Church. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Absolutely. Come see me. Come see Pastor Adam. Come see any Bible-believing, Spirit-filled member of this church. But we come to church to get edification, to be equipped, to have our faith built up, and to come into unity, and to glorify the Lord Jesus corporately. There are things that can be done in the Spirit that are more powerful by the combination of our faith than alone at home. The Bible says, forsake not the gathering together of believers. You may be like, well, I can believe God just walking through the forest and hunting mushrooms on a Sunday as much as I can going to church. Sure, you can, but you're missing it. You're completely missing what the Lord says when he says, gather together with other believers. You're not getting built up or edified. Why? Go back to verse 12. It says, even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. He's talking to every believer to excel into building every believer up. It's not just for pastors or worship leaders or teachers back in the back. It's every believer. Let's continue reading here. Verse 20. Brethren, do not be children understanding, howbeit in malice be children in understanding, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and lips will I speak to this people, and yet for all that will not hear me, says the Lord. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to those that believe, but to those who do not believe. This is talking about tongues are signed to an unbeliever like the day of Pentecost. These tongues don't need an interpretation. Tongues that are assigned to an unbeliever don't need an interpretation. Why? They are hearing it in their own language, like the day of Pentecost. Follow me on this. But prophesying is not for those who believe, but for them which, I'm sorry, it's not for those who don't believe, but for those which do believe. Let me give you a testimony. I believe it's Dr. Malone. You can correct me, Pastor Adam. I couldn't remember, and I didn't text you about it. But I was in ministry school for our freedom ministries that I do here. And I believe Dr. Malone shared his testimony. He was on an airplane headed over maybe to Pakistan, but somewhere. He flew a lot over there. And in his spirit, in the airplane, he heard speak in tongues. Is this Dr. Malone? Jack Hayford. Dr. Malone's spiritual? No. But he knows him?
Yes.
Okay. Told you he'd correct me. So it's Jack Hayford. So it was a CLST class. But he was... Okay, so he was speaking in a spiritual language, but he was in a public place. And to just speak out loud in tongues is not meant for a public place when it's your prayer language, if there's no interpretation given. But he started speaking in the spirit, speaking in tongues in an airplane. And you've been in airplanes, right? They're tight. You're right next to that person. And he heard in his spirit louder. So he started praying louder in the Holy Spirit. And so he's like, oh, is that... going a little louder. And then he heard again the Holy Spirit louder. And so he started speaking in tongues loudly, like he would speak normally to somebody next to him. And the Holy Spirit said, just keep going. And all of a sudden, the man next to him started weeping and weeping and weeping. What happened? As he was speaking in tongues, that tongue happened to be the native tongue of the person sitting right next to him. And he was declaring the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus in his native language. He understood him perfectly. When Hayford was done speaking in tongues, he looked at the man and said, what's going on? And he shared with him how he just shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he accepted the Lord right there. That is tongues as a sign to an unbeliever. That is the day of Pentecost. Tongues. Do we see? That is not here and hoping you understand a different language. As far as I'm concerned, most of you speak English and you can understand what I'm saying. I'm not to sit up here and speak in tongues hoping that Ricardo understands that it's perfect Spanish or Portuguese, right? Or when Caroline's here, German, not supposed to do that. They all can understand English as well. But this is an example of what Paul's saying right here in verse, 23. He says, 22, tongues are for a sign to those who don't believe. That's this type of tongues. All right, let's continue reading. I need to mark out my Bible now because I put Dr. Malone's testimony. I put Jack Hayford's testimony, so I get on there. Okay, verse 23. If therefore the whole church are come together in one place and all speak with tongues. Again, the connotation is without an interpretation. And there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers. So if we're all speaking in tongues and an unbeliever walks in, they're going to think we're crazy. That's what it says. Will they not say that you are mad? Why? Because there's no interpretation being given. There's no understanding that is fruitful for them to be built up. Do we understand the difference here? But verse 24, if you all prophesy, who can prophesy? All. He's speaking to the entire church at Corinth. If you all prophesy and there come in one who doesn't believe or one who is unlearned, he is convicted. That word convinced. He is convicted of all and he is judged of all. Go back to John 16:8. What is the Holy Spirit's ministry to those who don't believe? It is to reprove them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Continue reading, verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. It sounds like we have some coffee with some cream and sugar here. Other manifestations going on. And so, falling down on his face, the unbeliever, because of understanding of prophecy, falling on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. He's reporting and glorifying God to be true. And this unbeliever is profiting and salvation comes to him. Why? Because of prophecy, because of a divine utterance that goes forth, a gift of manifestation by the Holy Spirit of prophecy. Amen. That came to this man and he receives the testimony of Jesus. This is prophecy that we all can do as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for a prophet. In the Old Testament, there were special anointings for kings and priests and prophets. Today, we are kings and priests, and we all can prophesy. By whom? The Holy Spirit within us. That doesn't mean all who prophesy are prophets. I'm not saying that, but we all can prophesy. Verse 26. Let's keep going. How is it then, brethren, that when you come together, every one of you has a psalm? Now, listen to this. This is for you, Spirit of Life Church. And we're getting ready to close. Maybe not. Stay seated, Kendall. Sorry. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? We came together this morning. Every one of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. All the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are to be for edification of the body. Who in here came today with a psalm or a teaching or a revelation or a tongue or an interpretation or a prophecy? It should be all of us. It should be all of us. Go back to verse 12. You should excel at edifying the church. How do you excel at edifying the church? We are not a spirit-filled church in name only. When we pray in tongues at home, when we sing in tongues at home, we read our Bible every day. We're not full of the junk and of the world, but yet we come in full of the Holy Spirit. We're ready to give a psalm. We're ready to give a teaching. We're ready to give a revelation or a prophecy or a tongue or an interpretation. We are called to do this. This is why you don't forsake the gathering together of the believers. This is why it's not the same on a Sunday to go marching through the woods to find mushrooms as you can when you gather together as believers. I'm not saying you can't miss a Sunday to do that. Please don't hear me. But I know people, pastor knows people who today still aren't in church because they're okay with the level of their walk with God just on their own. And it's not one or two people, it's many. And they're missing it. They're missing it. They're not receiving the full help and benefit of the helper. They're not receiving the full benefit and the nature of who he is inside of us to go out and impact other people. They're probably getting by with just filling themselves up continually. But if I come in here and Mike gives me a word and Stephen gives me a song and Ricardo gives me a teaching and someone else gives a tongue and interpretation, I'm built up. I might float out of here. And then what do I have to do so I can get back down so I can eat some lunch? I'm going to have to give that out. I'm going to have to impact somebody with that because it means something to me. It's like today when I gave the testimony of Smith Wigglesworth about the man, he put his foot in a shoe. He had no foot. His leg grew and his foot was there. That built me up. So I shared it with you and I hope it built you up as well. That's powerful. And then Smith Wigglesworth said, I expected nothing less. Man, that humbles me. I said, I want to live with that type of expectation. Let's keep going here. You got to believe this is not just for pastors, though. Praise the worship team. You can go ahead and come on up now. This is not just for pastors or singers or teachers. This is for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord or Savior. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most three. Again, he's talking about in the church. He's talking about order in the church. And that by course, let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. That doesn't mean you can sit there and say nothing. You can pray to God in your prayer language to yourself and right there between you and the Lord. But what he's saying is don't interrupt the church for your tongue if there's no interpretation. It says let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three and let one of the others judge. Let one of the others judge. Verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For if you may, you may all prophecy, says it again. He also says you may all speak in tongues. You may all prophecy. One by one, you can all prophecy that all may learn and all may be comforted. Comforted by who? By the comforter, by the helper. The gifts, let's go back to 27. During worship, during the word, during prayer, you pray in tongues to yourself and to God. There's many times up there, it looks like I'm singing. You know I can't carry a tune. I might just be speaking in tongues. But to myself, though, I'm not interrupting service. I'm not doing it loudly to distract you from anything else that the Lord is dealing with you on. And many of you are the same way. And I know that. Verse 29, the gifts and manifestations are not to draw attention to yourself, but they are to glorify God. You and I are not the only ones with the Spirit. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit in each other. One of the best ways to do that is to know each other as well. How do we know each other? Here, at church, at things like going to the Huffs on July 4th. At other times, we offer to get together, joining a connect groups, get to know each other. If we're all ministering to each other, we need to know each other. I am much more apt to receive ministry from somebody that I know than a perfect total stranger. It doesn't mean that stranger is wrong or hasn't heard from the Lord, but my trust level is not there with them. But with you, if you were to come to me, my trust level is there. And I would receive it. I would be more apt to receive it and not disregard it right away or shelf it because I know you. That's different. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It is never true that you just have to say something. That is never the case when it comes to prophesying. You can't just say, God told me to do. I just have to do it. And just interrupt the service and do whatever you want to do. Well, the Lord told me, thus saith the Lord. And that's another issue. And I don't want to delve into this too far. But when you just say, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord told me, or the Lord said this, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, I can't dispute it in any way, shape, or form, because you said the Lord. There's a lot of people today in the wrong place in God's church because they came out of soul or flesh and said, the Lord said this. And so those in leadership are like, well, what do I do? And so now they're in a place they never should have been in with the bully phrase of the Lord said. Here's a better way. You know what? I got this in my spirit. If it doesn't bear witness with you, just shelf it. But will you receive it? You're offering it to somebody. Or you say it like this, I'm a man, I may miss it, but I believe in my spirit. And then you offer it to somebody, you feel like you have somebody for them. That act of humility alone goes a long way in ministering. In ministering. You know, when we were doing our ministry for Freedom ministry, we're doing our training. One of the lessons was we had to put a sticker, was it 95% on our binder? 95% on our binder. What's 95%? I mean, you know, is that the grade we're supposed to get on this session? I don't know what it is. But no, by the end of it, he told us 95% of all ministry, and this goes back to chapter 13. I will show you a more excellent way, he says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. And then he goes into chapter 13, which is all about love. All these manifestations, our gifts, are to be done through, in, and by love. 95% of your ministry is about the person you're ministering to, not yourself. It's about them. When you submit something to somebody in prophecy and you say, look, I believe I'm getting this in my spirit. I just want to share with you if that's okay. Isn't that better than saying, hey, you, thus saith the Lord. Now, if you have that confidence and the Lord directs you to say that to get somebody's attention who's an obstinate and a donkey, right? They're very stubborn. That's one thing. But boy, you better know. It's always better, I believe, to offer it to you. It's always better to offer it in an act of humility. Revelation 19:10, and we're going to close here. I know I said close a while ago, didn't I? Revelation 19:10. I'll read it up here on the screen. And I fell at his feet and to worship him. Man, we could just stay right there. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. Because he's trying, well, see, I misinterpreted that. In context, that's an angel he's talking to. We don't worship the angels. He says, see that you don't worship me. I am your fellow servant, the angel is saying. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Please stand with me here. Please stand with me here. Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spontaneous anointed testimony from the heart of who Jesus is to you, what he's done in your life. It's not pre-written. It's not from your head, but it's out of your heart. That is prophecy. Think about it. Prophecy is divinely inspired utterance. That's what it is in its most simple, basic level. Whether it's foretelling or edification or comfort, it's all inspired by him. Empowered by him, and you're speaking it. If I ask you to come up here and testify of who the Jesus is in your life, is that not anointed? And you're not thinking about it in your head, it's just coming out about who he is and what he's done for you. That's prophesying. But if I were to call up to other of you and say, come up here and prophesy, you might just kind of shake and be like, oh, I can't do that. You can. Your testimony is powerful, and it's anointed because that's who Jesus is to you directly, undisputed, can't change. And it's not pre-written. It's always from your heart. That is prophesy. That is prophesying. We must not always be looking for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. I know I've said that before, but it's, you know, it's so often we got caught up, and I'm not saying there's not a place for this in the charismatic world, of having a prophet come to the house, and everybody would fill the place, and he would just start throwing out words of knowledge, and everybody is amazed that he knew my dog's name was Fido. And he gives you a word of prophecy, and it becomes, in this day and age, entertainment and not ministry. And then a prophet comes back a month later, and the same people fill the house wanting another word of knowledge, another word of wisdom, another prophecy over their lives. Yet, in the time being, since the prophet left before he came back, they've done nothing of the word the Lord gave him a month ago. There's a problem with that. As parents, how often do you tell or get tired of telling your kids to do the same thing over and over again? Do you enjoy that? You think the Lord enjoys that? Probably not. I told you a month ago to do this. You haven't done it. So guess what? The prophet says, hey, you, your dog's Fido, do this. And you get the same word. Oh, I got the same word. Well, did you do it? No. But we all can prophesy. Everybody looks for that, and we miss the supernatural prophecy every day of our testimony of Jesus that we can use to impact the world. You are equipped with that now. What is your testimony? Are you sharing it? Are you ministering with your testimony? The world is really good at telling you their problems and what they believe. Just look at Facebook and Instagram or whatever people are on now. They'll tell you what they believe. Why not share what you believe? Amen. Amen. Inspired, divinely inspired utterance that comforts, that builds up, encourages, strengthens, quickens, consoles. This is prophecy for each and every one of us. You got to understand, the Lord has won the battle, and the Holy Spirit, he was already been given. He's here now. All that will yield, you and I to him, will experience this quickening, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Do we desire his help in our lives? Amen. I can't wait next week. We're going to continue talking about tongues and interpretation and the equipping that it does, the empowerment that it does in our life. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And my belief is that every single one of us can walk in the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says that he makes his ministers a flame of fire. If you look at your life right now, we're in the summer where people go on vacations, people are leaving, people are missing, and we kind of take a kick back because kids are out of school. Are we still a flame of fire? Have we been a flame of fire yet? Boy, I want to be. I want to be. I want to be used by the Holy Spirit. I want to put it this way. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to do whatever he wants and me to stop getting in the way. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, which is truth. I thank you for your word, which is truth. And that right now, Lord, that just keeps coming. He shall make his ministers a flame of fire. Lord, why wait? We don't need to wait until we teach on being filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't need to wait until we talk more about speaking in tongues. But today, now, today you say is a day of salvation. Well, that's for everything. Lord God, I just pray right now for those who would receive right now. We would just yield ourselves to you and ask that you would fill us again with your Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, you came and you filled. But in Acts chapter 4, those same people were filled again. In Ephesians, it says, be being filled. It is the continuous thing in which to live by, out of, and from, and unto. So, Father, right now, I just pray for us here in this place today that you would fill us fresh with your Spirit today, oh God. That you would anoint us today. Hallelujah. That you would bring to remembrance in our heart the testimony of Jesus in our lives. What does it say in Revelation? It says to have this thing against you that you've not done the works from the beginning. You've forgotten your first love. Lord, let us go back to that. To go back to our first love. To do the works that we did at the beginning, Father God. To be zealous for you again. To walk around as flames of fire. Lord, that just draws men unto you. That they would be saved, that they would be delivered. And that in that moment they're drawn to you by the testimony that we are sharing, Lord God. Holy Spirit, in that moment, that you would be allowed to do and to be who you are, who your very nature is, to help in that situation, to comfort in that situation, to strengthen, to quicken, to build up in that situation, Father God, to heal and to deliver by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now look at me for a second. In the beginning of Genesis, it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. He was hovering there, waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the faith of God to be released in words that said, light be. And what did the Holy Spirit do with those words, light be? He acted upon those words. Inside of you in this temple, the Holy Spirit is hovering. He's here in you and I, hovering, waiting to act upon your faith and your words. Do we believe it? His nature doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen.